Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Marvel is a new kind of superhero. But at the core of all of it, her story is so universal.
Miss Marvel is one of the newer characters in the Marvel comics. And when one comes in that grabs the world's imagination like this, the questions are, when are we going to bring Miss Marvel to the screen?
When Miss Marvel first came out, we had such an incredible reaction. It was so incredibly popular because everybody could see themselves in her.
I never saw a young teenager of color, specifically a Pakistani, in a comic book. Are you kidding?
I promised you'd be cool.
I am cool.
The casting process was vast. When we discovered Iman, we knew that she was Kamala Khan.
It was unanimous decision.
Yeah, I can't comprehend this right now.
And then, of course, we've got a really incredible team of directors. Bilal Fallah, Adel Al-Arabi, Mira Menon, and Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy. And all of them are taking the material and elevating it.
So Human, it's about a teenager figuring out who she is and about relationships. Family and friendship is at the heart of the MCU canon. That's what's so exciting about the story that we're bringing is that we're going to introduce you to a new family that's also going to be part of the wider MCU.
What's going on, people? The World Chota in the mix here. SKD, how y'all feeling out there? I know y'all just watching the games today. I don't really watch football after the New England, if New England's not playing. But my God, these playoffs, you know. Let me see here. Tampa Bay, Brady came and did business in the second quarter, but it wasn't enough. The Rams was just too much. I believe Tennessee had the shot. They lost. Who they play again? Cincinnati. They just had the field goal. And then today, I'm sure there's another game. It's Rodgers, Green Bay, and what's the other squad they were playing? I believe San Fran. I don't know. Rodgers, this might be it for him. I mean, they had the home field this year and last year and still in the winter. And two southern teams, you know, two warm weather teams came up and won. And now Kansas City and Buffalo, my God. I can't remember the gentleman's name who was one of the announcers. He said like 25 points was scored in the remaining 1 minute and 50 seconds. I mean, it's unheard of. You know, Buffalo, if you use a wrestling analogy, Buffalo had Kansas City pinned but didn't hook the leg. So beyond that, it's like people, you know, this is life. You know, this is life and you never know when it's over and it's never over till it's over. So we just have to, you know, hope Buffalo comes. Oh, not really. I hope they never come back. You know, I'm a New England fan. Have to keep it real. I'm so sorry, people, but that's just how it is. So just deal with it. Let me stop. All right, people. Today's our conclusion of our series here, two-part series, Why the Walker Ride Identity Politics Kills a Comic Book Movie. As I wrote in the description, I didn't expect all the email I got from all y'all out there. I hate saying I get from my students. I didn't really. I just got a lot of email. Excuse me. I need some water. Bear with me. I need to get some water here. But I didn't expect all the emails I got from everybody and, you know, in the chats as well. That I archived to answer the questions. So we only have about 41 minutes today, so I'll do the best I can to get to the chats and things like that and the emails. If not, I'll just do a show that is specific to today's topic, what have you. So it's just me in the studio today. I'm hoping either Stacy or Marcus comes by and comes help me out because this is a little challenge here, doing business with all you all out there and having fun, and, you know, that's a good mix here. But beyond that, what's happening these days is, you know, the comic book industry seems like by the week, it just, you know, you see things and you're like, what happened to the industry? Hold on, I'm switching. Actually, Susan's on the way down here, so I see a lot of y'all in this mix. Let me see here, what's going on? We have a caller on the mix. I just see a 111, so hopefully it's no one from DC Comics or anything like that. So we'll see what's going on. If I can get this person in, usually someone's here helping me out on this mix. So let's see if I can make this work. Carla, what's going on? How you feeling? I know. Let's see if we can make this happen here.
Yeah, it worked.
Hey, what's going on, Carla? How you feeling?
I'm okay.
What's your name?
Hotep, calling from the East Coast. Yeah.
East Coast? Oh, my God. I miss the East Coast. Where on the East Coast are you?
Yeah, between New York and New Jersey.
I hear the action's there. How was the convention?
Yeah,
did they have New York Comic Con out there? Did they have New York Comic Con last year? How'd it go?
I didn't attend. My younger children know a lot more about it. I'm kind of the political side, and they're the cartoon comic side of the family.
Right.
I'm the old man.
The OG.
You know, I catch the sci-fi movies, et cetera, but mm-hmm. I'm more of an indoors. Yeah. If you don't mind, I wanted to mention something about identity politics because...
Go ahead. What's your name first, my man? What's your name, my friend?
Hotep.
Okay. Hotep. All right. Michael, I thought he was greeting me, so I was going to greet you back. All right. Go ahead, brother Hotep.
Hotep.
Go ahead. Do your thing. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I think identity politics, the term itself, mm-hmm. is applied often to groups that need more identity and more politics. So, for
mm-hmm.
example, African Americans or Pan-Africans or LGBTQ or even to some degree straight people, depending on the circle you're in, often
mm-hmm.
get lost in the sauce,
mm-hmm.
and even females. So
mm-hmm.
I think some terms are used by some people appropriately, but often
right.
by groups that want to shut the other group down. So if you don't want to
mm-hmm.
hear about group A, you just say, okay, you're just using identity politics.
Right.
So yeah, and as I'm a you know black Pan-African person with children that I'm raising, and soon that some
mm-hmm.
of them will have children. One won't because of his special needs circumstances. You know, I just try to tell people around me just my thoughts on these subjects because black people need reparations, I think, and we won't get
mm-hmm.
it if we're dismissed, if our concerns
mm-hmm.
are dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the other groups agree with our concerns, we have a right to voice them, especially
mm-hmm.
since we tend not to be using hate speech and, you know, we're just politely expressing, hey, we'd like to see A, B, C, and D addressed. But
mm-hmm.
that was my
mm-hmm.
main thought on the identity politics. What
Does
do you
anything
think about
come...
identity politics? The way I read the blog talk, it seems
mm-hmm.
like you may think that some groups use it as a card to get out
mm-hmm.
of situations that are not valid.
My flow on that is, I believe every group tends to do it to some certain extent. I believe an example would be where, and also the hijacking of the pain narrative or the black narrative, as you want to say, the historical narrative suffering, where I believe the swimmer down at UPenn, Leah Thomas, Williams, whatever it may be, apparently he referred to himself as, you know, he was, what do you say? He said he was the Jackie Robinson of the swimming pool, you know, whatever competition they compete in. And I see a lot of that where I'm the Jackie Robinson, I'm the Rosa Parks, I'm the Minister Malcolm, I'm the Dr. King. And it's interesting how a lot of people tend to use, as you brought up so eloquently, and again, appreciate your call, they use the history of black folks, especially the suffering, the oppression, and the challenges that we've experienced in this country as their own, but there's no comparison. And I believe it just cheapens, I think it's very disrespectful to the culture of the people who has, you know, who helped build this country, who suffered so much and accomplished so much to come in and say, well, you know what? I'm the next, you know, I'm the next, you know, who may be a Dr. King. It's like, there's no comparison. You brought the LGBTQ community and that comes to mind because, you know, we had the Black Lives Matter marches last year. What took place in LA around the same time, my friend, was very interesting because the black trans was out there marching, and I noticed a lot of the Anglo LGBT organizations who never speak on the issue of what the black trans or the Latino trans or non-Anglo go through. They don't say anything. But the next thing you know, they're at the march saying black trans lives matter, but it seemed like they were promoting their own agenda. So for me, identity politics, I think it just allows some groups, as you have brought up, I think it just allows some groups to usurp and use other people's narrative for their own. And at the same time, I believe it divides because I want to see a great movie. I want to see a good film. You know, The Harder They Fall came out, and the creators are saying, yeah, we're going to reimagine the Western narrative. But for those OGs like yourself, I believe, you remember Ving Rhames and Rosewood in all those films. So we've seen all this before. So I just think this generation that's coming up, and I can tell just by your knowledge of the game, by how you speak so fluently, that your kids are definitely in great hands. I believe those who aren't in great hands, such as yourself, all they know is, I want to see a black this. I want to see a Latino that.
Yeah.
I just want to see a good story. And if the person's melanin, so be it. That's just my attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really, I'm not into that. So you know what I'm saying? So go ahead, brother, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. See, the arts play, well, two of the roles that the arts play is one, to give us a fantasy world, whether mm-hmm. it's as a Trekkie or as a black person that's a cowboy or as a white person that may love reggae, that
right,
may
right.
not necessarily exist, right? Well, in our mm-hmm. personal circle, so we escape mm-hmm. and imagine. That's the beauty of dance and music and movie. But the danger to the arts is that mm-hmm. it has been used, weaponized as a tool of oppression and suppression and of mm-hmm. cultural appropriation. So mm-hmm. here we are, having a world where the arts in a perfect world would give us all this freedom of expression and see people from other groups and, wow, beautiful. But in the real world, there are groups mm-hmm. and people that are being oppressed and mm-hmm. utilizing, for example, mumble rap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very slippery slope between us defending the arts and the right mm-hmm. to, you know, experiment. You know, mm-hmm. put a kid as a king in a movie and say, hey, mm-hmm. this is King George or this is Imhotep. When we really,
right.
those of us that know better, that's mm-hmm. the beauty of art. But then the flip side, all the queens in the movies are white women in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
when that
mm-hmm.
was only Ptolemy's rule time for a few hundred years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
is why education and critical race theory are probably so critical, because if people aren't educated enough to know any better, they'll think that, you know, Denzel Washington was Malcolm X. And they'll search it and say, oh, there's a picture of Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing was, it's interesting with CRT, because the narrative with CRT is that presupposes that the history of everyone non-Anglo in this country isn't taught. You know about Malcolm. You brought it up. You even talked about Hotep, and you were talking about the Egyptians, Ptolemy, and all those things. I grew up on that stuff coming up back in the day, and I know very many schools and very many classes in the HBCUs, DC, Boston College, even Harvard. They teach those topics. It's the narrative that comes up where people say, oh, we need to teach this, and they act like Roots wasn't on TV back in the 70s, and it's still the highest rated miniseries ever. They make it seem like we're trying to hide that knowledge. But, you know, I think they discount the parents such as yourself who's spreading that knowledge to their children, who talk about that knowledge to their children. And there's professors such as yourself in the class spreading that knowledge. I think what has to be done is that, in my opinion, when it comes to CRT, is if they want to paint the narrative that everything is race, 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 then you need to paint, you also need to add the narrative of the success of the melanin in this country. And every time I turn on a film, I turn on a network, I see talking heads, it's always suffering, 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 suffering. Okay, well, Egypt popped out of somewhere. The knowledge is known over here. We have Brother Hotep right here. We don't talk about that. And I think that's the mistake CRT does. It wants to paint the narrative, if you're melanin, you're oppressed. And I'm just not with that narrative, because I grew up during colonialism and all that stuff. And I know exactly what it's like. The way that Nicole Hannah-Jones is describing it, it's not reality. They need more people like yourself who speak it more flowing, but you're making sure I can tell that your kids are learning the knowledge, especially Malcolm X and Denzel Washington. Brother. Brother.
Yeah. Yeah, here's why I think, and by the way, discussions, mm-hmm. dialectics like this are very important, because mm-hmm. it leads to, it's not about you and I, for me at least, it's for listeners
mm-hmm.
who are
exactly.
going to tune in, and mm-hmm. maybe something that one of us says will take them further down a road of cognitive discovery, whether
exactly.
or not they agree with the point, they'll understand it. But here's why I do think the critical race theory is important, because it actually mm-hmm. doesn't say that America is all bad and that all white people are bad and that all black people are suffering all the time. It actually
mm-hmm.
is just an attempt to try and bring to all classes a consistent curriculum, which would lead to better syllabus and lesson plans. But what I find, I've been in educational circles from the top level title to, you know, others, it isn't done consistently. So parents like me who know better, but it isn't I'm not paid to do that. The schools are officially the places where most people, excluding me because I homeschool, trust the educators. But I'm more concerned about the other kids, because there are other kids who don't benefit from my people like you and I who may know better. And so this mm-hmm. is why, for instance, in New York, they're supposed to teach more about true African-American history, but particularly
right.
they don't. Other than
mm-hmm.
Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, they don't teach
mm-hmm.
3-5 years later, when he was saying that he's concerned that he may have put his people into a burning
house.
Facility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, so that's why I kind of defend it more than I put it down, but it doesn't affect me directly. But life is not just about what affects me or what affects you, but it's also about how other people are impacted. Because, of course, we're communities and tribes and villages and nations and the planet, and we got to really understand each other, even if we don't agree with each other, respectfully understand. But definitely, on a related matter, black folks need reparations. In the Caribbean, in Central and South America, in America, Africa, it is time, and other groups who have gotten their reparations often haven't helped us sufficiently to say, look, we got ours, and we didn't go through as much as you did. So I think our pain is often just a calling card that some groups use to get more of their own, and we end up like, wait a minute, what's going on?
I think the thing, you brought up a great point on that. In fact, I have a show coming up on the issue of reparations, because I remember it was Dr. King's, was it Abernathy? One of the people said, you know, reparations is actually affirmative action. So I actually have a show coming up sometime. I believe next Saturday, actually. It all depends if we're filming that day. But I know I do have a show coming up, and I know I expect to hear you coming in. I had that vibe. But two things here before I go on to our next caller here and in the chat.
Yeah.
Two things here. One benefit as I teach school, I love the fact that you're homeschooling, because I know you're giving them the knowledge, not just the curriculum, you're giving the full knowledge of the game. Mm-hmm. Two, you said something as an OG, which I was talking to a good friend of mine. These conversations, you know, back in the day, okay, let's go hang out, whatever it may be. It's so polarized now that if I don't agree with you, okay, oh, no reparation? No, okay, no, quit, that's it. And you're like, wait, you, oh, there should be no reparation? Okay, forget, quit. The listeners should always get from these conversations as you flowed that, okay, I'm getting the knowledge from both sides. I may not agree with this side, whatever, but I'm getting knowledge of the other side. And we have to get back to that and make more platforms available for that. That's the way we can move forward. Yeah. This division doesn't work for us.
Yeah, before you go on, because I know you have other individuals with great things to say, both on the liberal and Republican, Democrat, all sides, I get hang-ups when I communicate.
Really?
Right? And my thing, yeah. Just okay.
Why do you think that?
I think it's
really?
Because, yeah. It's usually on the Republican side, but even some Democratic liberal circles just don't want me. I think because I pass as though I am not black and kind of palatable until they hear the depth of what I'm trying to communicate. And then they say, oh, no. In other words, I come off neutral, I think, because I sound stereotypically Anglo, Asian Anglo, black, you know? So both sides figure, okay, we can use them. And then I get a bit Malcolm X on them, and they often get afraid. So I've been banned and blocked by Facebook, LinkedIn, Wikipedia, Khan Academy, Reddit, including my kids also, for simply communicating on our issues, not in vulgarity, not even though I could curse, I don't, not hate speech. And I think that's the power of communication. If we use it appropriately, we can really change the world. But yeah, man, I'm going to lock you in, and hopefully we can talk again, and I hope you enjoy the rest of, you know, your day, and let's make a better world.
Oh, that's all you can do. We got to leave for our children. Thanks, Brother Hotep. I definitely look forward to conversing with you again.
Thank you, brother. Peace.
All right. Peace out. Now, you see, people, and again, to Brother Hotep, thank you for taking the time to come in. I really appreciate the conversation. You see, people, this is what I was talking about in the beginning, about a narrative or a story where you can have a conversation. But if you come with a conversation at the beginning where there's an agenda of what you're trying to get in the outside at the end of the conversation, it's not going to flow. The conversation I had with Brother Hotep here, I definitely appreciate, and I love these conversations. I used to have conversations coming up back on the East Coast. Maybe it's a West Coast thing out here with, you know, how people do things. But back on the East Coast, 5%ers, the Nation, you know, Black Panther. I mean, we had all kinds of conversations, what have you. Those are the conversations we need to get back to. We don't, you know, it's not about the agree to disagree. No, it's about, you know, let me give an example. I coach the high school debate team, you know, where I teach law and finance to high school students, right? And the one thing about debate, we do policy debate where they say it's, you know, the hardest to do. They do four rounds. They do two rounds as the ask, presenting the plan they need to get passed, and then they do two rounds as the nay, why the plan shouldn't be passed. What's the benefit of that is that our kids learn at a young age how to see things from different sides. We don't do that anymore. As the brother was, we spoke on reparations. you know, he brought up reparations. I explained, you know, my view of reparations is a little different, but I understand where he's coming from. The flow he talked about, which I definitely don't hear much more much on, we'll say, other platforms. I know Brother ABL does it. I know Greg O'Forman does it on Black Conservative Perspective. I know other shows, the Independent Network, talk about it. When he was talking about how other people tend to use other people's narrative in a way that it kind of excludes them. Again, these are conversations that we need to get back to. At the same time, these are conversations we need to spotlight and our kids need to hear more of. We can't have the Don Lemon saying, oh, you're a Trump supporter, I can't be your friend. Oh, you're not, or if you're, you know, another person, oh, you're not taking the vaccine, I can't be your friend. Oh my God, you can't work, you know, won't wear a mask, I won't be your friend. We can't do that. We're dividing ourselves. And the way society is becoming now, especially in the Western Hemisphere, we have to come more together than to let us divide ourselves. So those are the conversations we need to have more of and we need to spotlight more of. And those are the conversations as was back in the day. Dr. King, you know, Minister Malcolm, he made all kinds of comments on the interviews about Dr. King, how he's being sold out, how he's being used by the Anglos, what have you. And then they would ask Dr. King, well, what do you think about Malcolm's words? And Malcolm would say what he would say, right? So the thing is, you never saw Malcolm, like, you know, call him like a B word, the N word, or something like that, you know, from what I've seen. And you never saw Dr. King come back and attack Malcolm. Today, you'll have, for example, brother, doctor, you'll have a, what's his name, what's happening? We'll have, what's going on, Crush the System? How you feeling? I see you in the chat. If you have a question float in there, we'll definitely talk about it. You would see Candace Owens on one side, and you see Brother Eric, Michael Eric Dyson, Michael Eric Dyson on the other side, on CNN. And I'm looking at this saying they're going to have two black folks argue each other. And Candace, I remember, kept saying, our community is not the same. I don't want to be on the show arguing with another black person. That's not what this is about. And this is what I respect back in the day, because Brother Hotep brought us something. It's coming back to the Wolf-O-Roddy and the comic books and films. We're coming back to that. I just want to touch on this for 1 second. He brought something about how Dr. King talked about, I feel like I'm leading our people into a burning house. He was changing his thought, his evolution in reference to how he's seeing things, to the Vietnam War. Remember, where he was got assassinated, he was there for the sanitation strike. Minister Malcolm, when he went to the Hajj over in Mecca, he started seeing things different and came back. They almost started changing into the other person. The one thing that came out of it, though, is that famous picture where Minister Malcolm was talk with Dr. King. What a lot of people don't know is that Mr. Malcolm actually found out where Dr. King, and you know those in the East Coast, and you know Dr. King, he studied in Boston, though he did grow up in the South. Mr. Malcolm went to D.C., said, I want to see him. So when Dr. King came out, he was thinking, he goes, Malcolm. And Malcolm was like, you know, Martin. And they just started talking. And Minister Malcolm said, I've been trying to meet you for a while, but your people kept saying no. Minister Malcolm, I'll come back to you. I see you crush the system on the floor, your chat in 1 moment, so bear with me. Give me like about 30 seconds. Dr. King said to Minister Malcolm, I've been trying to meet you too, but your people have been, you know, keeping me away. That's what people are trying to avoid. It's not the greatness who are being kept apart. It's the people around them that's keeping people apart. So, you know, when we brought that aspect of Dr. King saying that was a great lead into what was going on at that time. But again, Brother Hotep, I really appreciate the conversation. That's the conversation I'm getting on the East Coast, and I don't really get that much in L.A. Crush the System, thanks a lot. I'm going to read the chat here, what he put in here. Let it flow. Hi, brother. Great show. Thank you kindly. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, come into the chat today. I know you have things going on in these crazy worlds. Imagine two basketball teams that don't sharpen each other's skills. We all should all respect other people's perspectives and agree to dialogue without ad hominem attacks, etc. Even the immature races should be able to express themselves, because the more they talk, they expose their ignorance. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Especially the part when I saw the part where it was said, imagine two basketball teams that don't sharpen each other's skills. I'm like, I know where this is going. That's what I'm talking about. Sharpen each other's skills. The best players are the best. Okay, you're not the best team. You play the best team. Now you're going to know how to play the best team. That reminds me, if you talk about basketball, that reminds me of Michael Jordan. And people like Simon, people in the chat like, Simon, you get back to the comments. I'm coming there. But I have to, you know, I want to give love to our listeners who are taking the time to tune in wherever they may be. It reminds me of this basketball analogy. It reminds me of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And Michael Jordan talked about, and Scottie Pippen talked about, and their players talked about how Michael told Scotty, because Scotty was guarding Michael in practice, and Michael told Scotty, look, if you can guard me, you can guard anybody. Sharpening each other's skills. There you go. Trust the system. I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to somehow put this in our next dialogue, in our next description box, you know, these comments, because, again, for those who just tuned in, someone just asked me to read again. I will read it again. It says, hi, brother. Great show. Thank you again. Crush the system. Imagine two basketball teams that don't sharpen each other's skills. We all should respect each other's perspectives and agree to dialogue without ad hominem attacks, etc. Even the immature races should be able to express themselves, because the more they talk, they expose their ignorance. And this is what we need to do. Thank you very much, Crusty. I appreciate it. We just have to have a conversation. If I don't agree, I'm not going to label you some kind of phobic. I'm not going to label you X, Y, and Z. I just want to hear your perspective, because what it comes down to is that we may have not lived the exact same experience, so we're going to see things different. So I'm going to see how you see the world. You'll see how I see the world. We just move forward and build this world. So we have like 19 minutes. So, again, these are conversations. Now, again, when it comes to these comic books and these films, you don't see the conversation. You see an agenda and a message, right? We're going to show this film that's going to have the first black, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Oh, okay, so that means the melanin just wants to go and see a film because there's melanin people in it. No, that's insulting the intelligence, because just because we're melanin doesn't mean we have the same culture. I was born and raised in the Congo. I wasn't born, you know, I grew up in the Congo and in Boston on the East Coast. But my experience is different from a brother that came up from Atlanta. Queen Latifah made a comment back in the day. For those that know, you know Queen Latifah back in the day, ladies first, what have you, with Moni Love, and she's still doing great things out here. I think she's doing The Equalizer. Queen Latifah said when she heard NWA's, you already know the song, their music coming out, and they heard the rap coming out from the West Coast talking about what was going on with the police. Queen Latifah said she never knew about that story, and she's growing up in New York, but she said she never knew about that story. And this is what I believe arts, the comic books and the films, they're not doing that anymore. They're not showing us something that we haven't seen before, or they're showing us things that we've seen before, but now they want to have an agenda. I talked to several people after our last show, and we talked about The Eternals. And I asked each one of them, I said, okay, what was the – before you saw the film, what was the plot? They had no idea. Back in the day – now, I know people are like, oh, here we go, back in the day. Okay, let's try back in the day going from like 2013 going backwards, okay? You see a trailer, not these trailers now, when they put the whole movie in the trailer, you're like, oh, like really? Like, okay, okay, whatever you say. You see a trailer, you know, it might be The Five Heartbeats, or it might be Do the Right Thing, or it might be Daughters in the Dust, or it might be Ease You, or it might be Blade, or it might be another science fiction film that may have came out, A Vampire in Brooklyn. Sometimes the title itself will tell you what the show, what the film's about, what the comic book's about. Yet those trailers, it told you, hey, come check this out, a black person, you know, it wouldn't say like, there's a black person that's a daywalker who has dark skin that's going through the ghetto, you know, attacking white vampires. It wasn't about that. It was about, there's a vampire that's really cool, played by Wesley Snipes, who's here to do business. Boom. And that was a D-list character, that of Blade. Look what he did with it. Now you don't see that. If you go back to our last show, I redid the show because there was some audio issues. If you go back to these films now, it's always, you know, Star Trek. We have the first gay couple, Eternals. We have the first gay couple. We have the first non-binary. We have the first transgender. We have the first. Look, I didn't go see Blade Runner because they had the first replicant in a lead role. I like cyberpunk. You know, movies should be about escapism. Now, there are movies that want to teach. Like, for example, the brother brought up Malcolm X, where I know people are going to say to this day, I still say, Denzel destroyed that role. Like, he just laid it down. This is how it is, and that's it. I really wish Spike Lee would release the footage, if he has it, where he said when he called cut, Denzel was still in Minister Malcolm mode. It was just like leading a choir. So I watched that tape. But anyway, let's come back. Today's film is not like that. You know, look at Static in Milestone, The Big Bang. There was a fight that broke out, an explosion happened, that gas that turned everybody in the area into a human. Now it's Static, one of the popular cartoons back in the day, bar none. Now people weren't saying, oh my God, that's the most popular black cartoon. You want to have a black guy? They were like, yo, Static. You had all kinds of people back in the day. Milestone was doing business back in the day with their comic book line. Hardware, Technique, you know, Static, Icon, you just go on and on. But Milestone was getting reborn. And what they do change Static's origin, I believe Static's origin, to he got his power at a BLM rally, the police came down, and the race came down, and the fight broke out, and something happened, he got his power. Why was that even necessary? It reminds me kind of like, you know, when I watched Black Lightning, the TV series, I wasn't really into it because I just wasn't into it. This is me, right? I always ask myself, but I said, why is Black Lightning like in the hood fighting against criminals? Power Man, the same thing. Luke Cage, you know, he's in the hood fighting against criminals, right? My thing is, they ever think about like just ending crime? You know what I'm saying? Like just ending crime, being like maybe I don't know, not being like, you know, a crime lord, but just ending crime. It's like we're seeing. I was like, you know, we don't see this any. I want to see a story. I want our young kids to go see Alien and they see a cool lady like Ripley, or they see a Buffy, or they see Xena. We don't see that. Even when we see our sisters in movies, it's always presented as a black narrative. You know, the young lady, she's in the HBO series that has to do with robots. Like, it escapes me at the moment. My listeners can tell me what is this TV show? It has to do with robots. Westworld, that's it. When she made the comment of how she was treated in some science fiction movie, I don't know if it was the one that the Vin Diesel series, or it may be, but they're talking about black characters. Like, you know, how are you going to treat a black person like that, or John Boyega, when you have black people? It's like, no. We just want to see stories. Now, if we want to see historical narratives, whatever, we support that. We always think that. People want to say, oh, you know, look at Moonlight. Well, those who know film or study film, remember the film Pariah that came out a couple years ago with the young sister. It wasn't presented as a black lesbian. It was presented as a coming out story for a young girl. Naomi comes out. I think I met one of the brothers at Comic-Con. Naomi comes out as the young sister. Apparently, she's a mutant, whatever it may be. You haven't watched it. That came out, and the ratings are so low, I think it got canceled, or it's going to be canceled, or it's about to be canceled, whatever it may be. But when I watched it, I said, okay, because the one thing it said, you know, Superman, why is it when we create these stories, we just can't create a story? Why does it have to be linked? This person is the smartest person on earth. They're as smart as Fantastic, as Mr. Fantastic. It goes to the films. You see the young lady over there at DC saying white men shouldn't apply for internships. You see now they're going to take Noob, they're going to take a Wonder Woman or a Wonder Woman or Nevia, and there's a trans on the island full of women who identify as men. But look at Nubia's story. What a lot of people don't know about Nubia, and this goes to Brie Larson of Captain Marvel, is that before it was retcon, Nubia and the girl Diana came out of the same. They came out of clay, two things of clay. They were equals. It wasn't like she just popped out of nowhere. But for some reason, they started writing Nubia, especially that WAC comic book I saw a couple months ago. They started writing Nubia as though she's some new character and it's based on her skin color. It's not necessary. You know, melanin people aren't so dumb where they're like, you know, we'll only see a person with melanin people. Because let me tell you, when Five Heartbeats came out, Robert Townsend was on Arsenio. This is when Arsenio was Arsenio back in the day. Robert Townsend was on Arsenio's show saying, please come support my movie. Please come support my movie. Why? What was coming up around the same time? Terminator 2. Now, that should tell you something. We love our science fiction. If I want to see Star Trek, okay, I want to see new stories. I don't want to hear about the first anything. I just want to see a new story. I'm not interested in it, if the person has the same complexion as me. You know, let's put it like this. How did it work out for Steven Spielberg's West Side Story and Manuel Miranda, the guy from Hamilton? How did that work out when they put those movies in? People are talking about representation. There you go. But let me tell you the representation that, you know, I'm not really into that term because it's like, okay, what does that mean? Okay, we may look alike, but we're not alike, right? Well, some of my students looked at it, especially my Belizeans, you know, my dark melanin, you know, my melanin Belizeans and my Latinos. They said, well, Mr. you know, we don't want to see the film. I'm like, why? Because we're not in it. And I was like, and I knew what they meant, but I wanted to hear them say it. And they said, because there's no dark-skinned Latinos up there. Well, there's one in the back. And I was like, weird. Like, yeah. They were like, you know, if they're going to show a film, it's set in Washington Heights, and anybody on the East Coast knows. Washington Heights is like, my God, it's like Afro-Latina deep. And then the guy from Hamilton, the guy who created it, Lin-Manuel, he should know because apparently he lived up there, and I believe he wrote the play to the original play of In the Heights, whatever it may be. But I come back to say those movies came out, and Spielberg was more, and you know, I love Spielberg. Y'all know I'm a film guy. Spielberg came out, he's more concerned about not using English subtitles because it might make the Spanish language secondary, even though I think he forgot there's a lot of Latinos, like my students, who don't speak Spanish, and they can't read Spanish. They speak straight up English, right? I guess no one just bothered to tell him or ask him, hey, look, man, if you want to do this film, you're going to reboot this film or whatever it may be, then you should, like, upgrade the melanin count because right now it's vanilla latte. And that's not cool. I want to read something to you. I'm running a little behind because, you know, we actually did start somewhat late. I got a promo from Sundance, which is taking place this year. We were supposed to go, but there's just a lot of things that was going on. And what I was digging, it said the 8th Annual Latino Filmmakers Network. It's a great, you should go check them out on IG, Latino Filmmakers Network. I'm not exactly sure what it is on IG, but I know they're on. Just put in, it'll pop up. There's a Latino Filmmakers Networking event Monday, like our change makers, we know that. Here's the tagline, empowering messages from Hollywood stars. That's like saying this movie empowers women. This movie empowers black people. This movie empowers young girls. This movie empowers those with special needs. All right. What do you mean empowered? Because the presupposes that they have no power. See, sorry, it's like the people that run around talking about we're going to make people uncomfortable. How do you know they're not uncomfortable already? You're uncomfortable. People are giving themselves these titles and these influencer actions that essentially it gives them an idea that they're actually doing something, but they're not really doing something. So the thing that gets me is, let me tell you who's speaking today. The wonderful America Ferrera speaking. Identified Danny Pino, much love, Mayans MC, Olga Meredes, I'm probably pronouncing, I hope I did it right, In the Heights, and Gianfranco Rodriguez, Halston. Do you want to take a wild guess why I actually screen captured this, like I said to my friends? Okay, everybody's Anglo. Then talk about Anglo looking. There's no melanin there. There's no diversity. So when people talk about that, especially those that come from the cultures of other cultures, what do you mean? See, it's not just racism that's the issue, it's the colorism, right? Now I see that in the comic book or but on the low. I think they're going to do that with Franks in the Star Wars series. They're going to bring him in, and they retcon his history where he was an outcast because he had blue skin. Now, well, that's kind of interesting in a place, you know, in a universe where you had like four arms, wolf's heads, and like snake's head, but anyways. But let me come back again. What you're going to change these things is, first off, these stories aren't sustainable. Right, they bring these new writers that they just want to create controversy. Superman is now gay. Well, it's not Superman. It should say son of Superman. But they want to upset, you know, the OG. Right, he's now gay and he's marching for climate change. Superman, the son of Superman, who has the power of Superman, the father, is marching for climate change. What's next, right? So the writers that come up, they can't create stories. They can't write stories. They can just create controversy. They can take a character. We're going to take, for example, look at the CW's, Batgirl. I think it's Batgirl. Is this the only one? Batgirl, right? Okay. When they first casted it, they were like, oh, you know, we have this lady. She's a lesbian, blah, blah, blah. Or she might have been bi, whatever it may be. When they were recasting it, they said in print, we're looking for gay, we're looking for lesbian or LGBT as a patrol. Why is that? Okay, but why put it out there like that? So this is what I'm talking about. Now you have Joker. Yeah, I believe I saw it on Young Ripper's show today. Check out Young Ripper over on YouTube channel. He talked about how a young brother is now going to be playing Joker. I think it's what some TV series are going to be. And he read the post. He read the guy's interview. And the guy said, yes, you know, to be the first black person to play the role. And then Ripper did it where he felt he actually pretended to be asleep because it was so boring. Again, you're playing a role. Awesome role. This, that, this, that. Why talk about it's playing the first black? Like, you're playing, this is Joker, all right? Now, people are going to criticize, they're going to say, oh, my God, who's this guy, blah, blah, blah. They're going to say, oh, it's racist. Okay, well, when Heath Ledger, you know, got the role of Joker after Brokeback Mountain, we were like, no, there's no way this guy's playing Joker. We just don't see it. You know, I believe he's in some film, some King Arthur film as well. Then he does Joker, boom. We like that, all right, boom. But this channel, man, y'all can go find it. I'll post the links in the description later on this evening after our show wraps up with these articles. And check out the articles in the last one. It was like the young lady who was in Peacemaker talking about black this, what's like as a white writer, if it's right for you. But like, really? You mean, did they ask Steven Spielberg that question when he produced The Color Purple back in the day with Miss Goldberg on there, what have you? I think it came up, but at the same time, it was a classic. So the thing is, we have to get back to that. You want to put a message, you can put it on the low. Look at rap music. If anyone remembers when what was his name? LL Cool J did an ad for The Gap. And in the ad, this is LL back in the day, not LL now, right? This is LL back in the day. He did an ad for The Gap. And in the middle of the ad for The Gap, he goes, This is for us, by us, on the low. Anybody, on, I don't know about the West Coast, but folks on the East Coast understood he was giving a shout-out to FUBU. Who was FUBU? That's Damon John's clothing line that he did with three other brothers, I believe, from Queens, Queens, Brooklyn, and the Bronx, whatever, right? The thing is, he said he gave them a shout-out in a Gap commercial on the low. Boom. That's subtle because folks will catch that. But again, I don't want to see a quote-unquote black version of Superman. I don't want to see a quote-unquote black version of Batman. I just want to see a story. And there's so many great characters out there created by independent creators that I see at Comic-Cons all over the place. I buy them all the time. I'm talking about mystical, magic, you know, sci-fi, cyberpunk. There was a young brother back in the day. I really like to connect with him. His name is Mark Rand. He did a story called Sky Technologies. I think you can find a book or copy of it on eBay or whatever. Back in, I believe, the early 90s, this thing was manga. It was just deep. If that was made into a film, forget it. It's over. That book is so awesome. And I believe he did everything, writing, penciling, and coloring. I really like to connect with him because this guy is just uber talented. He had a young brother as well out of New York. There's so many properties out there that people with money or those who are about a collaborative spirit and want to work with can go out there and produce these projects. No one even heard of it. Only OGs in the comic book industry knew about Blade. There are so many characters outside of Marvel, outside of DC. I mean, look at Milestone. Oh, my God. Can someone do – yeah, I remember what happened. They wanted to do a movie on hardware. There was talks about it. But then people said, oh, it'll be too much like Iron Man. Like, come on, man. Are you serious? Like, Rick, really? So the way it's going to end, we have to have just back to just writing great stories. There's a reason why the Phoenix Saga is a classic. There's a reason why when it became a movie, it became about a woman being oppressed by men. Remember there's a little scene in there? It should be called The Ex-Woman because women do all the work. We're like, oh, my God, are you serious? Look at Star Wars with Rey. What was Rey's struggle? You see what I'm saying? Like, this is why people are stressing. And they're like, oh, yeah, she got her training of the Jedi of the Force from Kylo Ren. Just look at the whole writing. What was her background? There was nothing there. There's nothing attached to. But, you know, as Kathleen Kennedy said, the women's the force. And they think this doesn't affect women. You know? Women, you know, when I go to Comic-Con, anyone that's been to Comic-Con or anyone that's into cosplay, you know. The women, they'll make cosplay on male characters. Because why? Because they're cool. That's it. I saw a young lady who came as a cosplay as Dazzler. This is like 5 years. I took a picture 5-6 years ago. I'm like, okay. And I think she was like, what, 19, maybe 21, 23. But she was about that. Yet that's coming back. Cosplay, they'll cosplay anything. Male, female, they're not in there talking about, well, I can only do the women characters. I went to Comic-Con after Star Wars, what's that thing, The Force Awakens came. I don't know why The Force Awakens, when did they ever sleep. But I went to the L.A. Comic-Con out here. It used to be called Kamikaze. And I saw this young lady who had one of the illest Kylo Ren cosplay outfits. I mean, to this day, I wish I got a photo of it. It was ill. It was so nice. But people presuppose that women only want to see women, melanin only want to see melanin, Anglo only want to see Anglo. No, we want to see a good story, story that we're going to talk about. You know, Demon in the Bottle when Tony Stark, you know, became an alcoholic. That'd be real. Disney won't do it, but we thought that'd be a great storyline after what happened in the Avengers Endgame, things like that. So on that note, yes, I have a question here. It says, Chota, what do you think about, some people are like, oh, how do you spell Chota? C-H-O-T-A. So that's how you spell it. Another question here is, what do you think about Zendaya and Spider-Man? I'm like, that's not Mary Jane. The Mary Jane we know from the comic book, she was, you know, we all thought she was a redheaded Latina, and she was thick. You know, the one in the movies, you know, it's cool, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. I believe she's in Dune, if I got that correct. Yeah, I don't want to see Dune. I'm not, because it was Eternals. It was like, okay, it's black, this, we're going to race swap. I'm like, I don't want to see that. End this nonsense. Get back to good stories. You can put in there what you want. The good story will have people coming back. And identity politics and woke karate won't, because you can only do that for so long, right? I mean, if Brie Larson's into the women's, you know, struggle and stuff like that, when is Storm from the X-Men going to get a movie? Let me be quiet. All right, y'all. Chota here on The Mix. Thanks for tuning in. Crush the System, I appreciate it. Brother Holton, I appreciate it. Everybody else, my apologies. I'll definitely open it a little earlier, and I'll definitely copy down your questions and ask them next time. Y'all stay safe out there. Chota, I'm gone.